Pháp thoại mà các bạn đang nghe được phát từ phatam.com, website hàng đầu về truyền thông đa phương tiện Phật giáo.
Good afternoon, my dear brothers, sisters, and friends. Today is June the 4th, 2011. We are having our monthly mindfulness day. I hope you did enjoy your day so far with the quiet environment to calm yourself. Some people question, what is mindfulness day? And instead of explaining, too much about the practice, and I simply answer them that mindfulness day is the day to relax. Because we have so much work, so much things to worry, so much thing to chasing and to run after. So today is the day that you're able to come and allow yourself to rest and relax. Mindfulness is something you able to touch right in the present moment. It is not a philosophy, but it is the practice. When you drink the water, you know that you are drinking the water. In the moment you are drinking, you do not lose yourself anywhere else. That's called mindfulness. That also called meditation. Meditate means stop wandering our mind and enjoy deeply what is there in the present moment. Stopping and looking deeply or enjoy or touching deeply to the present moment, it's called meditate. Not only when you come to a certain of time to sit down on a cushion, on a mat, and that's called meditation. But meditation can be done every single thing we do in our daily life. So that is the reason why when I, beginning of this today's talk, I invite the three sounds of the bell and I give you some guidance. Breathing in, I aware of my body. Breathing out, I aware of my body. Because sometimes we have this healthy body, but we totally forgot. We abuse our body. This afternoon, after lunch, One of the young brother came and see Thay, see me. And he said, Thay, last week I collapsed because I overwork. Usually we should work 40 hours a week. Can you imagine I worked 88 hours last week? And after 1 week of working like that, I could not get up from my bed. I said, now you have to remember, you are not 20 years old anymore. You know, a human body after 30 years old, after 30 years we use them, it starts to have some problem. It's on the way, what we call downhill. Because each of our life, each of us, we have three lifetime, three periods of lifetime. From when we born until we 30 years old, that's called, you know, on the hill. On the way, you climb on the hill. But when you stop on the tip of the hill, after 30 years old, you start to go down. On the way. And when you get to 50 or 60, but you start to what we call downhill. Three periods of time, lifetime. Chinese people used to say, if you work too much, you have energy to work, but you have no life to enjoy. Sometimes people work too much to raise money, to gain money. He told me, he agreed, he said, because I'm greedy to money. That's why I turned around and I told him, you have money, but you don't have your life to enjoy the money you made. So we have to be very mindful on about our health, on what we do in daily life. That's called mindfulness. Mindful on your body, your mind, your daily routines. Because otherwise, we lose ourselves. We work too much and we forgot how old we are, how much energy we have, and then we could not continue. Some of the food, very tasty, but we forgot that we are sick. We are unable to take that much. And if the food is there, but we are able to control, we are able to tame our greed, that's called meditation. That's called mindfulness. Mindful on your body, mindful on your health, mindful on your action, mindful on your daily consumption. Very be careful, very important. No matter what we do, with our mindfulness, we may create, we may cause a lot of problems for our body and mind. So therefore, one day, there's a very famous officer. He met a Zen master. He joined his palm and he said, Master, can you please teach me simple way? No, he said, can you please teach me how to practice Buddhism? And the Zen master said, do not do bad things. Try to do good things. Keep your mind calm and purified. He said, oh my God, I thought you teach me something very high and deep. These kind of sentences, an 8-year-old boy still can memorize it. The master said, yes, an 8-year-old boy can memorize it, but an 80-year-old man unable to do it well. That's very true. We are unable to tame our mind all the time. And sometimes with our mindfulness, we may do a lot of things that cause people suffer because of us. And what is the result? We also suffer along with it. Because we are connected with that. So meditation or mindfulness is the same. Mindfulness is meditation. Meditation is mindfulness. When you hear the sound of the bell, you calm your body down. You calm your mind down. So once a while during the day, you will hear the sound of the bell. It reminds us. Do not run anywhere else. Stay here. Bring your mind, your body together. Some of the Zen practice center, they have that kind of quote around their garden, around their temple. Bring your mind and your body together. You are here, your mind must be here. Do I answer, help you to understand more about meditation and mindfulness? Meditation can be done when we walk, when we talk, when we eat, when we drink, whatever we do. But we have aware on that. We have awareness on that. When you're taking the food, you must aware how much you need. You must aware what kind of food you're able to take. Do not overtake because you cannot finish it or your body cannot take that much. Then we have to adjust. We have to stop or we have to prevent. We have to tame it. Usually Vietnamese people used to say that the eye is always bigger than the stomach. Because sometimes you come to the food, you're hungry, but you are not that hungry. But because you're hungry, you thought you may finish all of that, so you take a lot. So that's why, you know, sometimes some of the vegetarian buffet in the state, you only pay like $12 for all you can eat. And you can take as much as you need. But they have the rule. If you took something, you are unable to finish and you put them in the garbage, you pay another $6 extra. Because you have wasted your food. Many people, they have no food. Why you waste? Because you are not mindful on your action. You are not mindful on your greed. So that is the third contemplation today when we have meal and we read. May we take only food that nourish my body, preserve and protect the planet, reserve the global warming. May we recognize and transform our unskillful state of mind. Or we can say our unwholesome mental formation. We need to transform that. If we do not recognize it, how do we transform? So the most important is we're able to see that. And if you're able to see that, you are mindful. You are practicing mindfulness. You are practicing meditation. And somebody will, they will write me a letter or an email and say, "Thai, I'm very suffer because I feel that in me I still have a lot of angry." And I answer them, "That's good, because now you at least you know you still have it. You start to have mindfulness. You start to have mindfulness. Now you know how to meditate. You're able to recognize it. You're able to see your unwholesome mental formations. You're able to see your wrongdoings. That's good. So if you're able to see your faults, if you're able to see your problems, that means you begin to see the truth on yourself. For example, we have a question here. I have a problem with thinking. Please talk a bit this service of not being entirely honest. Meditation and mindfulness will able to help us to see when we should be honest. And sometimes too honest will cause problems. For instance, Mr. A is gossiping about Mr. B, and you are the middle person. You heard what Mr. A said. You came directly to Mr. B and you say, "My friend, because I'm honest, I will tell you everything, every single word I heard from Mr. A. You're very honest. You don't want to be lie. But what happened after you've done all of that reporting? You cause the breaking, the discommunication between Mr. A and Mr. B. If Mr. B asks, was Mr. A gossiping something about me? No, he did not. You lie. But your lying is what? Because you're mindful. This is something you cannot repeat. You lie, you tell Mr. B something not honest, but your dishonest able to bring harmony, peace to both sides. What is mindfulness on that? Mindful on our speech. Mindful on what we hear. When we hear something, we should be mindful what we hear. Do we need to repeat? Do we need to report? Do we need to save it in our mind, in our heart? And if we do not need to save it, we're able to let it go right in that moment. And you won't carry that a long time, and that become something very heavy to make you unable to sleep. Now if you have a hard time to sleep, you have to go back and reflect. What is the main thing that's caused me unable to sleep? What is the main thing that's caused me unable to smile? What is the main thing that caused me unable to relax myself, release myself, relieve myself? So many words of that. I know the word release I know the word relief, I know the word relax. But beside that, I want that. But beside that, I carry, I saving, I lock it up, I block myself. I carry tons of rocks on my heart, on my mind, on my shoulders. If you step into the Mahayana Buddhist temples, and usually sometimes you will see a happy Buddha. Have you ever seen him? A big, fat, chubby monk. Big belly. Always smiling. And they have the sentences to honor him, to praising him. This Buddha have a very big belly. He contain a lot of things that humans unable to contain. Why he can smile that beautiful smile? Because he can release something humans unable to release. Lot of things we say, we know that is not used at all. We still want to save it. We can reflect ourselves. Sometimes we clean our house. We pick this up. I bought this long time, I didn't use it. But if I throw this away, it's kind of waste, huh? So I should save it. You put it in another corner. You pick the second thing up and you have the same thoughts. You put it back. Look like you never clean anything. You just put it more tight, more nice and more neat, back, you know, more close together so it has some more room for you to save some more things. Never, ever anything can be able to be dumped out of our garage. Is that true? Sometimes it blocks our way. We crazy out and we say, I will throw everything out. You take one day off to clean the house. Or you take 2 days from your weekend to clean the house, but after that nothing will come out. You just organize it again. You just reorganize it. The more you organize it, deep inside a little bit, the more you have more room. And then when you feel that you have more room, you will shopping and you collect more. Exactly our daily contacts. This is not good to keep. That is not usable. Why we keep it? I have an old nun here. She now is 87. We stay together like 20 years already. And she have, like old people. They used to collect and they never dare to throw out anything. Some of the very, like a broken tray I throw out. A day later, I still see it back in the kitchen. Or the jar, the empty box, the butter, container. So many things. Now you go to the temple storage. It's huge, but it doesn't have any way to walk in. And there's nothing valuable. Exactly the same. We reflect to ourselves and we ask ourselves. Since I step into life, I socialize with people, with life, up to this moment. How much time I cry, how much time I smile. And what caused me that? No one prevent us to do that. And if we able to sit down and doing that, we are meditation. We bring out the matter. So remember, meditation doesn't mean, sit down, try to clear, try to you know, try to empty your mind. No. Sometimes you need to sit down and see what's your problem. For example, sometimes I have few young, I have Sunday school, right? And sometimes few of them come up to Thai and complain. Complain that guy, that friend. I say, okay, all of you come up and see me. I will sit down with them and I say, you go first. Tell me what's happened. Now your turn. Now your turn. And I will collect all of their sharing and I give them the advice. What is that? That is a kind of meditation. When you have problems, do not run away. Do not try to run away from that. Do not try to turn away from that. But the reality is, that is the problem you are dealing with now. We are strongly facing that. That's called meditation. And soon, things have been solved. We release. We're able to make our sleeping easier. Of course, there are some techniques. You can practice along with that. But first I want, because the question is mindfulness or meditation. And I have told the Sangha every time when I have a chance to. Cultivating mindfulness strongly in us, we can use this light on every single thing in our daily life. Because it will shine brightly what we should do, what we should not do. What should I save? What should I not save? Very important. Problems in this life, tons, immeasurable, unlimited. But our lifetime is very limited. We are unable to tell when are we going to die. So that's why the more you carry, the more you suffer. 2 days ago, I received a phone call from a lady from California. She shared with me about her problems, like 10 years ago. Her husband sponsored her back to her homeland. But soon they get married. They never have any happy day. He did not treat her well. He did a lot of bad things, especially his sexual misconduct. Beside that, he always shared with his daughter. That should not be. That's your side. Something you do as a father, you could not tell your daughter that kind of thing. It's no need for her to know about that. But he did. And her whole family on her, on the husband's side, always bugging her, makes her suffer because of their words, of their thoughts, of their acts, actions. She so suffered. She could not sleep. She cried all the time, even now, 10 years ago. But she's, every time when she think it back, the hatred, the angry start to arise in her. Sometimes she have a very negative thought. One day, somebody gave her one of my CD. She listened to it. And she feel that, wow, someone have mentioned something that touched her. She called and asked and shared with me. I told her, if you do not relieve this, and suddenly you die, you will carry all of these negative things along with you. Doesn't help for your journey. One day later, she called me. Thay, thanks to your message, I have practiced. I have listened to your message. I have practiced. And last night, I could sleep for a while. More than 10 years, I could not sleep. Every time when I close my eyes, all of that picture, all of that words come to me. And you see that we have the capacity to nourish, to contain and to nourish. But with our mindfulness, those are all the things we nourish for so long. And mindfulness will help us to see what is need to be nourished. So the environment also important. That is the reason why when we practice, you know, the practice center is help, because the environment of the practice center able to help us to stay on the right track easier than at home. Because sometimes at home, phone calls, things to do, and we're busy with that, if we forgot what is needed to do now. We always have something to deal with. We always have something to face with. But we should have mindfulness in order to see. After things done, we should not attach. For example, the two kids, they play together, they fight. At that moment, they hate each other. But 5 minutes later, they are friends again. We see that, right? But what about us? We cannot practice like a kid anymore. After a small problem, we and ourselves and that person will not see each other anymore, will not talk to each other anymore. We don't want to see her face, his face. We don't want to hear their voice. We don't want anyone to mention about their name. That's why we say, oh, I want to detach, but actually we really attach. Right? I don't want to hear. That means we want to detach. But in this kind of detachment, we really attach. We really have problem. We are unable to release that person. That's why we always say, I want to get rid of him. I want to hear his name. I don't want to see it. But actually, that bothers us a lot. So attached or non-attached is not something we mention or we talk. But it is also a mindfulness practice. Thanks to the question who asked that, what is mindfulness and what is meditation? Because meditation and mindfulness stay on the top, everything else underneath there. It depends. If the light of mindfulness is shut off, and that will become problem. That will be dark. But the light of mindfulness is turned on, everything can be shined. Anything can be clear. You can see clearly. But on daily practice, we should practice this. Something is not yet come, I won't wait. Something is already came, it's now done, it's gone, I let it go. Now is something I need to deal with. So that is the reason why the theme for this summer retreat will be, what is it? Enjoying the miracle of the now. Now is something very miracle, but we are unable to touch. We live in the now, but we are thinking about the past and we worry for the future. We have waste and betray the entirely moment. Do you see what I mean? Every matter, even family situation or anything, we try our best to solve something, to cause more positive conditions to help on each of the situation. But if something is not turned out exactly what we want, what could we do now? We couldn't do any more. We have to accept and find another way, you know. Not absolutely perfect, but at least it's better. For example, you wash your clothes, but you don't have the dryer. But the weather today outside, you're unable to bring out and dry them under the sun. You could not blame anyone. But you have to accept the situation and find another way. What is it? I will hang it inside the house and let it dry slowly. I know it will dry, just slowly. But compared to bring outside under the rain, inside still better. Do you see the example I gave? Life is nothing can be called perfect, absolutely 100%. And our practice is do our best, accept the best, transform our best, completely your own. Like a flower. The flower never complained. I am the flower. I want you to arrange me in a beautiful place. If you bring me in the toilet, I will be suffer. Never say that. You are the flower. That means you will decorate for something. So because you are a decoration, they can bring you anywhere to decorate. You just play your role of flower. Present wholeheartedly your beauty, your fragrance. That's good enough. Next week you will die, but you're still happy because you are completely your role as a flower. That is my poem. I have wrote the poem for myself in that way. I am the flower. Grow up and bloom beautifully. Even tomorrow, I die, I still happy. At least I have bloomed exactly as a flower and offer my beauty for life. We come from nothing. One day we will become nothing. Before we become nothing, let's do something. The leaves will fall down and become compost. It's vanished. When we don't see the leaf anymore, do not misunderstand. The leaves totally gone. They just reform, become compost, and nourish the tree, the healthy food for plants, for flowers, for trees. Next spring, the leaf will manifest again on the tree. Do you see what I mean? The picture of falling down the leaf? When you see the bare tree, do not name it a dead tree. No. Because they don't have enough condition to stay in the winter, to stay green in the winter, but they never die. The energy of living of the tree is still strongly in that tree. When the condition's enough, like the spring season, the tree will grow fresh and giving the leaves. We are the same. We are here to serve, to please, and to live. We live happy, we serve people happy, we die happy. We are a flower. Anywhere they need the flower to be there, let's there. So do you remember the song, And when I fly, let me fly like a bird freely. When you need to cry, let's cry. Cry like a baby. Because after you cry, you release. Do not hold it. Because crying is one of your emotional. But after your crying emotional, you feel light and release. Sometimes we need a shoulder of someone that we can lean down and cry. Cry deliciously. Vietnamese call khóc ngon lành. Ngon lành is like you taste something. When you taste something, it's so tasty. And sometimes you cry in that way. Cry deliciously. That means you can cry deeply, cry out anything, all the tears that you contain. Because in the past, you may swallow all of that tears. So to me, I used to practice. I will do my best. Wholeheartedly do my job, my role. People comment on me. If it's right, I will correct. If it's wrong, I won't save it. Because it's wrong. And I told the young novices, we can lie to the whole universe, but we cannot lie to ourselves. When we are honest to ourselves, we will step each step peacefully on earth. We will breathe every single breath with happiness. We are here to live, to serve, to die. That's all we do. So in Buddhism, we have the word nirvana. What is nirvana? Nirvana is not a place. Nirvana is not a destination. waiting for you after you die and you go there. Nirvana is the moment when you're able to come, to relax, to live freely and liberation yourself. That's called Nirvana. Nirvana means ending your suffering, ending your anxiety, your sorrows. That's called Nirvana. Buddhism never advertising there's a place waiting for you. Oh, now you need to do is put all your effort to work, to practice, to praise the Buddha, to pray the Buddha, and then after you die, so you won't have it now. No, that is not the practice of Buddhism. The practicing of Buddhism is you're able to touch it now. Put down your practice. Put your hands down to practice. 40 years of praising the Buddha. Another 40 years, I die at the age of 80. So, oh my God, more than 40 years waiting to touch that place. And I don't know whether, there's no guarantee whether I am there or not. No guarantee. Buddhism is the way of life. So sometimes they will say, there's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. You're already happy. Where else you want? You have two hands. You have two legs to walk, to touch. You have eyes to see. You have ears to listen. What else do you want? Happiness is there. I am sick. I'm not well. But I still appreciate because my sickness still, I still able to do something compared to the one who lie down on bed forever. They're in coma. So, if we are sick, it's only physical sickness. But do not make your mind sick. Why the mind don't sick? Because we understand the facts of life. We were born, we get old, we were sick, who died. That is something called absolutely truth. And that is the true facts of life. Dealing with problems every day which we will have. And that will come to us anytime. Now, if you have a problem of sleeping, this is some of the technique you can do. Before you go to bed, soak your feet in the warm water with sea salt. Because all your whole body system under your feet. Do you remember that we have a rolling plate underneath, or we can rolling our massage our feet on that roll, right? That plate. Roll a little bit, and then soak your feet in the water. For about 10 to 15 minutes. And then you dry your feet, put on your socks, and you can go to bed. Because when the warm water release all your muscle and it contact your body, It's also one of the ways to help you to sleep. Second thing you can do is listening to the music, like the chanting I just play when you are having relaxation. That's called a metta chant, chanting on loving kindness. If you know that you have problem of sleeping and do not drink tea at night, tea or coffee. Besides that, you can find the tea that is made from the heart of the lotus seed. Do you know that? You know the lotus seed, right? Inside the lotus seed, there is a little green heart. Take that out. You can buy from Chinese medicine herbalist, herbal. Drink a little bit. That also can help you to sleep. So of course, what I share you now is helping for your physical body. What I just share with you, helping for your mind. The body could not sleep, could not get well because the mind is not well. So once the mind is well, it also helps our sleeping, our body. We do not need to try to empty anything from the mind. But we focus to one thing at a time. And we also have mindful enough to see that what need to be mindful on, what need to be focused on. For instance, if you are just came to Canada and you want to learn English, then focus learning English, nothing else. And you come here quite often and you want to learn some Vietnamese, and focus to your learning only. So focusing on one thing only, it also helps you a lot. So for those who have a hard time to sleep, and then I share with you two things. Healing your physical body. Soak your feet under the hot water. Don't drink tea or coffee at night. If you want, you can drink lotus heart tea. Listen to music, focusing to your breathing, to your breath. You can find a book called, what is that book? Blossom. Lotus. No. Blossom Lotus or something. I want to bring it down out here and I forgot. You can read that book to find some of the exercise. Because in that book, the book offers us lot of exercise when you sit, when you lie down. The Blossom Lotus, that is what I remember about the book. Last question. There's a member who already took three precepts in the past, and now they want to continue to take five precepts. No problem. Because practicing is moving on. Usually we have five mindfulness trainings, right? Last night we recite. You can receive 2, 3, 4, depends on your capacity of the practice. If you want, you can see me, you can see Thầy, and we can arrange a day for you to officially take the 5 mindfulness trainings. And if I will, if you already have the Dharma name, which we can understand, we can call that, or I can give you another Dharma name in Vietnamese with English translation. So you can call, we can call easier. It's no problem. Do I answer all your questions? If you still don't clear some point that according to your question, please ask. I try my best to answer you. You don't have to mention about a question. You can directly ask. Question? Yes.
Just in terms of attachment, as a lay practitioner, you have attachments. And when you talk about no attachments, I'm sure there's a spectrum that you're talking about.
Mm.
Can you explain that? The goal of no attachment?
The reason why we learn to be no attached, right? We already have the answer based on our feelings. You can reflect, if I attach to something, how do I feel? And if one day I don't attach to anything, one day, if any day, any moment, that I have nothing to attach for, how do I feel? So the goal of non-attachment is to make ourselves more liberation, more freedom, more release, more relaxed. For example, first time when you come to the Friday meditation class, because you heard people mention about that, you came. You met Thầy. And for so many days, every week, you come, you see Thầy. And you expect that Thầy will be here every Friday. So if sometimes you come in and you realize Thầy is not home, a little bit disappointed. That's not wrong. That's good because you're attached to Thai. but if you say, oh, Thai is not home, too bad, but that's okay, I still can practice with the Sangha. The first moment you attach, you come because you think Thai is home, so Thai can give a talk, Thai can share, or sometimes some people share with Thai. You know, Thai, even you don't talk anything, you don't say anything, but when I come into the temple on Friday, I see you sit there, I'm happy enough. Some people told me that. But, you know, that is a positive attachment. But now we move on. Even that positive, we still need no need to attach to, because Thai will not stay there forever. So at first, we find what need to attach. So some positive things only. But we need to move on a little bit. We come to the point that no attachment. Because doesn't matter what kind of attachment. If it already called attachment, that will become suffer. We love our husband or our wife, but we should know that that loved one will not stay with us forever. Even both of us have one day have to be gone. So if one day I leave or he leaves, I still will be fine because I already prepare. Non-attachment doesn't mean this. I know one day you will leave me. So from now on, don't touch me, okay? I don't want to attach. No. If things come, we deal. Things gone, let it go. Things not yet come, don't wait. Anything in this life, even communication, humans communication, dealing with things, using things, nothing attached. Let's say you like this sound of the bell. If one day this bell is going somewhere else, we replace another sound of the bell. You don't like it much. Every time when you hear this sound, you don't feel all right. That means you're attached. We have to accept the situation. What about before this bell is not coming here? You have nothing to worry for. Or before you come to temple, you never hear the sound of the bell. You still lie, live and happy. But soon you hear, listen to this sound of bell, you start to suffer. You see? So anything is there for us to use, use it. Wholeheartedly, respectfully use it. But we know that nothing can stay here with us permanently. Everything is impermanent. If we can see, if we can recognize the nature of impermanent, and then we will feel more released when things come. But why we need to mention this since now? Because we need to prepare and get ready for. If things come suddenly, we cannot take it. And that's called accident. Something that happened we never expect, we cannot accept, that's called accident. Something we prepare, we ready, it's better. Still sad, but it's better than, you know, you shock, you suffer. Learning the word impermanent, learning the word dying, sickness, suffering, those terms are not negative terms to sad us, to push us down, to depress us. But those words are something exactly the truth of life. If you can hear it, learn it, take it, it's easier when they come to us. We can name it exactly, but we don't refuse, we don't run away, we don't turn around. But we know how to face it. Last week, I have a 3-day retreat in Colorado. And we have a chance to see back some of my Dhamma brothers that we practiced together like almost 20 years ago. And now each of us, we have a lot of work on our shoulders. 20 years ago, we are just a young monk. Freely, nothing to worry for, just study, eat, play. But now each of us, we stay in a such, you know, a monastery, and we have a lot of title and work to do for. And we sit down, we drink tea, and we remind some of the, you know, happy moments. And we say, time flies so fast. Quickly, already 20 years. Yesterday, I show one of my friend my high school graduation. That picture I took when I'm 18 years old. Now I'm 38. Cannot imagine. So if we do not, you know, ready and accept those, we will very suffer. So I want to inform this before we finish. Non-attachment doesn't mean we try to detach anything. No, we don't need to. But we have a mindfulness in our daily life. If anything comes, we know, oh, this is something I have to deal with. I deal with it, but I don't suffer. I still have it, I will use it. Sometimes one day it's broken, I have no longer, can use it, I accept it. And because you know that if the old one is never gone, the new one never comes. So sometimes, you know, the old one have to be broken so we can have a chance to have the new one. So that's why some of the Zen masters, they are very relaxed on their dying and living. Oh, they say, they declare, this body is like a shirt. If one day I have to leave this body, I feel that I'm changing my new shirt. Only, you know, the one who can attain to that level, they can declare that. With us, we still have a lot of, you know, shaking and worry and suffer for. But thanks to the practice, without this practice, we never know how we are now. What will become if something happened to us now? So if you still, up to this moment, and if we reflect back, we will see, we need to thanks to the practice. Without the practice, since we have problems, we don't know what to do. When we heard the news that you are very sick, we don't know how to deal. But the practice helps us to see the absolute truth of life. I hope the Sangha will enjoy your rest of your day, the rest of your day. And thanks for your listening. I hope you are satisfied with all your questions. Thank you again, and have a good weekend.